Welcome to the December 5th edition, the Sunday night live edition of the PFF Forecast. We're going to talk about the Ravens' two-point decision, who the best team in the NFL is. Eric has promised, and he better deliver, a rant to one-up the Ramsplaining that we had last week. And of course, we're going to guess the lines for Week 14 and a return of recommendations. Both of us have a recommendation for you. It's going to be a great show. Let's rock. To all of you who stayed up through that Sunday night game, we salute you, real men of genius. Hopefully you were the people that also bet the under. We have to shout out Zach Tantillo, because that's how you pronounce his last name, who is a stud on our social media team, and tweeted out at halftime that Greenline liked the under in the game. And I told him, look, buddy, if the over somehow hits in this game,
if you mush this, it's over.
It's over.
Yeah. I mean, that was one where it was very like, in hindsight, it made too much sense, right? We talk about the Chiefs have only had one of their games go over the total since like week six, right?
Yep.
And there was obviously weather that was somewhat foreseen. The line moved a point in our direction and threw 47, which is not a non-key number. And then we threw, it was like basically a quarter plus a minute or two was 13 points. So it was on pace to go over. And then Denver had, what I have to say, is one of the best. So after a week in which I wrote the article about perfect blocks, I was mansplained about what running the football is really for. You know, I got to say, running the football is for making me money tonight, because that drive, I even said it when they got the ball with like 12 minutes. Like, I'm like, George, wouldn't it be great if they got to like to midfield with like 6 minutes
left and punted? Second quarter, they get the ball at 12 minutes.
They take the whole rest of the quarter. Andy Reid, which
they established their toughness.
They established, like, look, they, it was body blows. It was
Javonte Williams. Hold on, real quick. Teddy Bridgewater was the most feeble joke of a quarterback in this game.
His like, fourth down run.
The Chiefs could not have been less worried, should not have been less worried about Teddy Bridgewater, and still.
And Javonte all the people Williams that bet that overcame. Number down from 10 to 8.5, watching him try to run for that fourth down at the very end to cover the spread. I mean, like.
But the fact that Javonte Williams is a beast, and you should have known, because if you had an NFL draft guide from last year, we talked about it. Remember, I said I would take him. I need to go back and check the records here. I believe I said I would take Javonte Williams first out of any running back. By the way,
lock of the week is 10-4.
Lock of the week is 10-4. If you want a PFF subscription in order to take advantage before the season is gone, you need to do so, and you need to do so now, because Cyber40, the promo code, which gets you 40% off, it ends tomorrow, okay, on Monday. So go to pff.com, use promo code Cyber40. It doesn't matter which subscription you get, you will get it for 40% off. If you want all the betting tools, you need the elite subscription that gets you the player props tool, gets you both the college football for all the bowl games and the college football playoff, and NFL betting dashboards, the power rankings tool, the 0-100 grades every single week for every single player, player props tool, as I mentioned already, the best bets tool, everything that you possibly need to get through the holiday season with your family is right there for you. And I have another special little announcement, little tidbit. This podcast has the best listeners. We all know that. And that means that we want to hear from all of these listeners particularly. So what we want you to do is tell us, what PFF feature do you love the most? And what would you like to see most from PFF? Any features on pff.com that you would love to see? Email us at contact, C-O-N-T-A-C-T, at pff.com. That's contact at pff.com. What PFF feature do you love the most? And what would you want to most see on PFF.com. Tell us which podcast sent you, and we'll put it on the wish list for 2022. Okay. The Ravens. Not the most impressive. It's interesting. The Ravens have not looked particularly impressive of late. We saw the Rams go on the streak of not looking particularly impressive of late. We've seen the Chiefs go through bouts of really unfortunate offense, and that still has continued. Yep. The Cowboys, there's lots of teams that have, you know, not sustained strong play. But the Ravens have been interesting because Timo Riske at PFF underscore Moo mentioned that they have as many wins by more than 7 points as the Texans do.
Yeah.
They go for two at the end of the game to win. Was that the right decision?
I think so. So here's the thing. Like, you know, obviously the win probability models are going to be what they are. We saw the NGS one. We saw edges. Ours had a little bit of a different feel to it. And some of it, you know, we have a player level model, right? So we are able to take out guys like Marlon Humphrey, who is injured. Yeah. Marlon Humphrey, the best defensive player for the Ravens. We also have like player level sort of metrics that go in even before a game. And that's one thing when you think about the Ravens, they're a team that's already banged up, right? They're already without Peters. They're already without Stanley. They traded Orlando Brown. For some reason, Rashad Bateman was like their third or fourth preferred receiver today. Obviously, without some of the running backs and Lamar, his form has not been like, we can actually grade the players week in and week out. So we know Lamar is not quite, and people are going to get mad at this, but it's true. Lamar's not playing at the MVP level he was early this season and in 2019. So all that you add up, they were the favorites in this game. They were -4, but you add to that the fact that they were significantly reduced player-wise and so on and so forth, that we would actually give – we actually made it about 53.5% that they'd win that game, which I know is a lot less than what would be implied by a -4. But again, they were dealing with injuries and issues of that nature. They're also on the road, which again, like as the game shrinks, all the reasons that you're favored kind of shrink as well.
What you meant to say there, sorry, is that in overtime, we would make them
correct
53.5% chance to win that game. So you think about that, there, you know, there's 13 seconds left. So basically an end of the game situation, right? There's no real chance for Pittsburgh to Right. For Pittsburgh to go score a field goal, because that does change the economics of it if there is a fair amount of time left.
Going for two is normally a bad decision if it's like 30 seconds or more because of the reason you're stating. Yep.
So 53.5% for the Ravens to win in overtime, which is basically what happens if they kick a PAT. They go for two. And you're sitting there, and we're watching this game, and we're like, you have Lamar Jackson. It's at the 2-yard line. Yeah. You've got the ability to run the ball with your quarterback. You've got the ability to run the ball with a running back. You've got the ability to throw the ball to either someone like Mark Andrews or a fast guy like Duvernay, maybe a wide receiver reverse, like all these different options. We both sat there and said, oh, it's a no-brainer. We would make the chance of them scoring a two-point conversion, converting at about 57%. So it was the right decision by Harbaugh, and you know, I'm sure people will yell at him and get mad at him on the talk shows tomorrow, but I mean, gave his team the best chance to win.
If you don't believe, so again, like, and it, so you can dispute anything, like our numbers, right? We're saying 53.55% you win in overtime, which is obviously more than 50%. There's also the issue, right, where you have a great kicker, which helps you in overtime to an extent, but also, you know, on that first drive, it actually makes you more likely to kick. And I know the Ravens are sort of like obviously woke, so they might not be that way, but there's also that factor. The when you look at the Ravens situations in similar, so like the issue when looking at 2-point conversion probabilities, right, is you can't just look at the 2-point conversions that a team has had because it's not that many plays. So you have to look at similar plays like 3rd and 2 and 4th and 2 and look at plays like in you know, close game situations. And essentially when you filter out and you sort of come up with a set of things, you can kind of get an idea of what every team's sort of true 2-point conversion rate is. And for the Ravens, we put it around 57%. So that's kind of where we are at. The Ravens are an especially good team at these things. They press teams. It was just like the Sunday Night Football game we had in week 2 when, you know, it was Lamar on 4th and 1, and it's like – you know, what do you think? You have Lamar Jackson, pick it up. Your rate's probably higher than even the models think. And so to me, that's where it was. You add in, you know, obviously the injuries to Humphrey, who's your best defensive player. And I think it pushes it all in the right direction. And I think Harbaugh gave an answer to that. And look, you win some, you lose some. I think Harbaugh gives this team the best chance to win relative to their players of any coach in football. And I think he did today.
Last thing before we get to week 14 and guessing the lines. Who's the best team in the NFL right now?
Good question. I think, okay, so I'm going to answer.
Are you going to do this long thing just to tell us it's Detroit Lions?
Look, I'm not even mad.
There are people waiting. They are waiting for the Minnesota Vikings rant. Okay?
I'm not even mad.
You took the glasses off for this.
I'm not even mad. See, the thing is, I'm not like, you know, I love you guys. You know, my Minnesota brethren, the folks I grew up with. I'm not even going to get mad. I don't get mad about 5-7 teams. I don't get mad about teams that are about to fire everybody because we know that's all going to happen, right? I don't get mad about stat padding quarterbacks who can't beat Jared Goff. Guys, Jared Goff is horseshit. That fourth down, Dan Campbell. By the way, speaking of a coach that gives him, who is like, he doesn't give his team the best chance to win because of his play-by-play calling. But fourth and one at your own 30. By the way, Lions missed 2 fourth and ones today. They somehow survived. Oh, so it's not, you know, it's okay to actually go for it. And they run a bootleg with Jared Goff. And there's 3 guys open. Goff can't see any of them because he can't see anything other than that one seam to Hawkinson down the seam. Like, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm watching this game, and the Vikings zone the end zone on the last play of the game. They literally ran the prevent defense, and Cam Dantzler let St. Brown catch the ball in front of him as if he was at the 30-yard line for the game-winning touchdown. And I'm looking at this team, and it's something every week. Kirk was the reason they lost to San Francisco. He curled up like a freaking – I mean, he folded like a lawn chair after he threw that first pick, right? Everybody says he's better than Jimmy G, and yet in that game, Jimmy G outplayed him. And then this game, he actually plays like a decent ball game. They throw the ball to Jefferson a decent amount. And their coach, Zimmer's defense, is the silliest thing I've ever seen. And I know you have guys that are hurt, but I'm telling you what, when you signed all those schmucks in free agency to million-dollar contracts, when you well actually all of us into, oh, this is going to be a good team. Look at Xavier Woods is a good player. Sheldon Richardson's a good – and they're all hurt or they're all ass, that's what happens, okay? You didn't outsmart the league. You're the Minnesota Vikings. That's why you've never won a Super Bowl. And we're going to have to watch them Thursday. So they're right back at it. They're a game – by the way, you're a game behind Kirk Cousins' old team for the playoff spot. That's where you are. And we're going to have to watch them again on Thursday.
They are their game behind the football team.
The Vikings are one game worse than the Washington football team the last 2 years.
That's
Kirk Cousins. Cousins to the most guaranteed deal in the history of the league, and they don't accomplish anything for 2 years. Washington wades into Alex Smith, Dwayne Haskins, Case Keenum, and both teams come out of it. The Vikings come out of it with one playoff win, hang a banner. The football team comes out, and they have – the Washington football team is one game better than the Vikings the last 2 years. Like, these things aren't difficult, guys. They're not difficult, okay?
I just have to say that did not disappoint. I had a high – there was a high bar. There was a high bar.
So and we have to watch them Thursday, and they're probably going to beat the Steelers.
Okay, but here's the thing. We don't – having to watch – by the way, for someone that isn't a Minnesota Vikings fan, they're incredibly – they create fun games. Okay.
Yeah, of course.
Like seeing the Lions win today was really awesome.
Yeah.
I want to take back everything that I said. I was very critical of Dan Campbell's hiring because, I mean, he was a tight ends coach for the Saints. Like, come on. I have never been so impressed by a team that can never win a game. I mean, they're 1-10-1, right? Like, I am
8-4 against the spread.
Right. And that's why, really. I mean, but that's impressive. Like, that team plays really, really hard. Jared Goff is way better than, like, many, many quarterbacks in the league that are getting opportunities to start. See Dalton, Andy, and Chicago. Yeah. And the, like, those players, for being that bad of a team, playing that hard, I mean, they're playing harder than the Broncos were, but in a game they had legit chance to win.
Yes, yes, yes. Here's the thing I'll say. I think that the Detroit Lions, this is my thing about Goff and why I defended him, defending him being the actual quarterback for them. This team actually is figuring out who is good on their team, mm-hmm. right? Like, you are actually evaluating players on your team. They're not so horrendous, right? You're not trotting out Nathan Peterman or, you know, John Skelton. Like, Goff is good enough for you to find out what you have in certain players.
Yeah.
And to me, I think that adds value. And so while we sit there and our PR guy, David Silfaro, who's like, for some reason, a Goff fan. I think you must have like met him sometime or something. He's like hilarious. He has a hilarious bit about rooting for Goff. And like, while we make fun of him all the time, like, he's there for that purpose. He's there to like sort of keep the thing on the tracks, and he's doing an okay job with that. Again, I sort of think about this team, and I think about the Bears too. And I get a lot of flack because I said that Andy Dalton at $10 million is more valuable than Kirk Cousins at $30 million. And I think Kirk's actually played a lot better than that statement would suggest. So I'm probably wrong, and Andy Dalton sucks. But like, are you, if you're Chicago, you're not that far from being competitive, right? I mean, basically you have to rip off the Band-Aid at head coach, possibly general manager, and get some players around Fields, get a good coach around Fields and develop him, right? And it's pretty clean. And if he sucks, you just move on, right? I watched this Vikings team on Sunday, and what is the path to competitiveness?
We don't have that much time.
I don't see it. And like,
gotta move
and that's
on,
part
man.
Of what tilts me so much about them. Is yeah, I agree that their games are entertaining, but that's it. Like, they're
good enough for me.
They're the wacky, waveable, inflatable, arm flailing tube man of the NFL. They're useless, but there's something to watch.
I want to know who came up with those. Like, inflatable wavy arm.
Yeah, I'm just glad at 1 a.m.
A marketing genius.
I'm just glad at midnight Eastern I can say that without really a hiccup.
We'll get there. I did originally want to know about the best teams in the NFL, and we did not talk about the best teams in the NFL. Mm. We talked about some of the less than good.
Can I answer that question?
I'll say this. One way to clean this up, you know, it's important to clean it up and get to where we wanted to go. And one of the best ways to clean it up, I must say, is with Manscaped.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. See how I got into that one? Manscaped, in fact, just launched. I've talked about the Lawnmower 4.0. You guys know I'm a fan of it. By the way, I don't think I've charged it in like 2 months. Still runs like a dream. That's how long the battery lasts. They just introduced an all-new Ultra Premium Body Wash and 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. Important, because you don't want 3 bottles of something. It's hard enough to keep track of 2. And that's why you need a 2-in-1 conditioner. Go to manscaped.com, use promo code PFF for 20% off plus free shipping. Now, I have to be completely transparent with everyone here. I use the Lawnmower 4.0. I have not yet used the body wash and 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. I am very picky. It'll shock you with my body wash and shampoo and conditioner. But for you, I will try it out and I will give it a review. And you have my promise on that.
Can I pause for a second? I mean, everybody, you know, people want to have their social commentary and, oh, the world's gone to hell in a handbasket and whatever. I feel
this
like...
This is about the Lawnmower 4.0?
No, I'm getting to it. I think that the fact that we have conditioner in our body wash now...
No. It's not. It's body wash and a 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner.
Ah, so it's still hair.
Yes. So there's a body wash...
And both then, hairs?
Well, no. If you use the Lawnmower 4.0, you don't need to worry about that much hair elsewhere. It's a body wash for your body, and then the shampoo.
Do people that
and
shave
conditioner,
their head, do they use shampoo? I haven't shaved my head in years.
I don't know.
Do they use shampoo and conditioner?
That's a good question. I would guess.
I feel like the same applies.
Hmm.
Because I feel like that's a sign of sociological advancement is the conditioner for the other parts of your body.
I think that the idea is with a body wash that you would hopefully have something that's moisturizing. And I think that's the idea with shampoo and conditioner is one cleans them.
I think they're getting their money's worth in this ad read. I'll say
they definitely are. Use promo code PFF at manscaped.com. Get 20% off plus free shipping. That's promo code PFF. Santa doesn't want to see you look like a complete doofus. So
get your act together. Leave the extra hair to Santa.
I mean, shoot, for like how long as it takes him to go around the world delivering presents, I bet he...
Can you imagine the drag?
Anyways. Sorry. All right, the best team in the NFL. Can we get to this? I want to know. Who do you think it is?
Okay, I actually have two answers to this question.
Oh, fuck.
The most impressive team in the NFL is the Arizona Cardinals. 7 wins on the road, all of 10 or more points, the first time in NFL history. Mm-hmm. I think that you have to make the case the Cardinals, both offensively and defensively, are the real deal. I don't know what's keeping you from saying they're the best team in the NFL? I'm saying I think it's actually not that disputable to say they're the most impressive team in the league.
Are they the best team in the league?
But the question is, what is allowing you to take that next step and saying they're the best team in the league?
I hate saying this. I hate it. I feel like a fraud using this as the reason. But here's the reason. I have seen Tom Brady do it over and over and over and over and over and over and
couldn't
over.
Get in the end zone when we needed the over in the second half of that
and
game.
Over, yeah, sure. And over. I'm only at age like 33, Tom Brady, by the way, but I'll just skip ahead to like and over again. And with the Arizona Cardinals, they have a little bit of that first Rams McVay team where it's like, wow, they're really, really freaking impressive. They're killing teams. They really want it. And I think maybe the difference there is that Jared Goff needed Sean McVay and Kyler Murray can kind of do shit on his own. But that's really what it is. So like, I think it comes down for me, it comes down to the Bucs and the Cardinals. And if they're in a neutral field, I have the Bucs favored. Granted by 2.5, but I have the Bucs favored. And so to me, by the slimmest of margins, it's the Bucs.
Okay.
I can't with the Chiefs. I can't. I don't know whether it's the Jackson Mahomes TikToks or the fact that none of their receivers want to catch the ball or the fact that that Travis Kelce got like 3 targets in that game. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. It's one of those things. I think the Bills and the Patriots, interestingly, are right there. I'm very intrigued about this Bills-Patriots game because I could make a case that either one of them is best in this like shitty weather element.
Yeah.
That'll be really interesting. But to me, it's either the Bucs or the Cardinals.
Interestingly, on DraftKings Sportsbook right now, Tampa is basically 11-2, so plus 550. Chiefs are 13-2, so plus 650. Packers are 7-1. That's a team that we, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. They didn't fuck up this week at all, right? So I kind of like them too. They're getting guys back.
I'd put the Packers in between. So I'd put Tampa, Arizona, and then I'd go Green Bay.
Yeah, Buffalo is 15-2, 7.5, you know, plus 750. Arizona's 8-1. New England's 10-1. Dallas 11-1, and our Los Angeles Rams are 12-1. Ravens 16-1. The Ravens number makes a lot of sense. Our simulations have never liked the Ravens this year, and it's for a lot of the reasons we talk about. It's just like all the close games, all the weird fundamentals. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you on Tampa. I think especially getting Carlton Davis back. You know, that game did seem, but like they only gave up 10 offensive points to Atlanta today. They get Sean Murphy Bunting back, Jamel Dean. They've had a lot of guys miss time. Vita Vea, Ndamukong Suh are monsters. Obviously, you have Barrett, and Pierre Paul coming off the edge. Like, and then on offense, they need to get guys healthy though. And the Antonio Brown thing is just pissing me off. So it's hard for me
to
put.
It pisses you off.
It's just like it's hard for, but like Godwin and Evans are fantastic. The two tight ends are good.
The thing about
and obviously Fat
the
Lenny.
Thing about the Antonio Brown thing that pisses me off is it's like you have everything just sitting there for you. Like you've gotten so lucky in life. Now he's obviously a hard worker, but it's like, dude, you just, all you have to do is like not fuck this really simple thing up. And you just like fuck this simple thing up. I will say this. It's a good point though, because I know that they beat the Falcons today rather handily without Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown was their best wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're going to cut him, because I think if they cut him, Tom Brady's going to go to Bruce Arians' office and go get the fuck out.
Yeah, yeah.
He's their best wide receiver. And without him, I'm not sure that they win a Super Bowl. So you are going Cardinals? I don't know if you ever actually answered the question.
Yeah, I'll dive in there. Like, my thing is, so we take take Tampa and take Kansas City, right? The two favorites here in the betting markets. They both suffer from the same issues, right? Which is that
they do.
Both defenses are coming on strong. I would say the Chiefs' defense has even performed better than Tampa's over the last 6-7 weeks.
Yeah.
Both teams, the offense is missing something, right? Like, and we just talked about Antonio Brown. With Kansas City, they're healthy. It's just that, like, they can't catch the ball. Pat's missing throws. They're running the ball fine.
But Tom Brady's wife and brother aren't doing
TikToks. That's not in the model, George. I'm not even talking. Like,
we're putting it in.
Yeah.
I need that in there. Okay,
Pat hasn't kissed his son on the lips, though.
Here's what we're going to do this summer. We are going to we're gonna rewrite the code.
We gotta rewrite the code.
And I am going to do a thorough examination of the social factors involved with each team. I'm gonna give them a score, and that's gonna be a column.
We just have to have like a variable for like general fuckery, and that like the off.
That's what I'm in charge of.
Yeah, like Brady. I'm assuming Brady is blinders. Like, this is, you know,
yes.
And so that's why Tampa scored 30 points today, and that's why the Chiefs scored 22, and only what was that, 14 on offense, 13 on offense.
By the way, the Tom Brady 2.5 passing touchdowns, as was foretold.
That was our secondary lock of the week, folks.
It was the social media observation.
Yeah,
he and Leonard Fournette had a little mm-hmm. fun back and forth about Fournette's four. Anyways, I knew it was happening. You're welcome. Okay, we're going to get to week 14. Before we do, the place to place your bets on week 14 and every single week is DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. Here's the deal. Use promo code PFF, and when you're a new customer, deposit just $1, bet it on any team to score this coming week, and get $100 in free bets, and then you can go place it on all the great player props or maybe the lock of the week. We can keep it rolling. It's 10-4 right now. If the sportsbook isn't legal in your state yet, don't worry. DraftKings has you covered. They have huge cash prizes on DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. Plus, all new customers get a free shot to win $1 million in total prizes with your first deposit. So DraftKings and the DraftKings Sportsbook app, download it, use promo code PFF. Bet $1 on any team to score, get $100 in free bets when that team scores and you use promo code PFF. You must be 21 or older. New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania, only new customers are the ones that are eligible. Minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you're a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And now it is time for week 14. Thursday night football features your Minnesota Vikings at home hosting the risen again corpse of the Pittsburgh Steelers. What did you?
I was told, quote, on the internet today, that the Steelers, quote, own me. I did congratulate him on, I'm assuming it's a him, on the Steelers' 1-8 chance of making the playoffs.
It's incredible. They were amazing today.
I have Minnesota laying 3.5.
I have Minnesota favored by 3.
I think it's right in between those two numbers. Minnesota on pinnacle right now. It's 3.5 plus 103, meaning obviously you're somewhere in between 3 and 3.5.
Yes.
Total on the game, 45. I kind of like under there. Both teams kind of play down. You know, like Minnesota, a team, no Adam Thielen probably, high ankle sprain. Yeah. You know, high ankle sprains take generally weeks to heal, especially for position players like that. The Vikings today were without Christian Darrisaw. They played something called Ole Udo at left tackle, who leads the NFL in penalties. They put Mason Cole at Ole Udo's old spot and had our friend, the Garrett Bradbury of I don't know, like, I feel like I sometimes have to talk about Garrett Bradbury's grade like it's in Celsius. You know?
as opposed to
Fahrenheit. So Pittsburgh Steelers today, by the way, like they gave the Ravens fits on offense. Like the Ravens barely moved the ball.
The Ravens, in fairness, have been giving themselves fits on offense. So it's like, you know, let's be real here.
But the Vikings are going to be without, obviously, Cook again, which like Cook is the screen guy, all this stuff. They still commit to running the ball to Madison and Nwangu.
Yeah.
Like, I think under 45 could be a good play here because I don't see the Steelers.
If you're going to bet either the spread or the total, yeah.
You're not laying it with Minnesota. You're also not taking it with the Steelers.
Big Ben's retirement tour.
Comes to Minnesota.
Yeah. Maybe that's why he did it. Galvanization of the team.
Oh, nice, nice.
Sunday, 1 p.m. slate. Actually, kind of an interesting game.
So we're doing our Steve Kornacki segment for the first time on Sunday. And I was looking at the schedule. I'm like, there are so many games that actually have implications. That's pretty cool.
So we'll start with one that does. And this is Cowboys and Washington football team. By the way, there is a chance that three NFC East teams make the playoffs this year.
It's unreal.
Which is, we've come a long way, folks. Cowboys and football team. This is in our nation's capital. I had the Washington football team favored by three, getting three at home.
I said 3.5. It is 5.
Ooh.
It's trending that way. I do think football team plus 5 is a good bet.
Yes. I hate to say
it. I'm going
to
hedge it, though, because I'm already sitting on a lot of football team under 8.5,
so
and they're
Washington,
at 6 now.
Washington wins in a kind of grinded out game today. Vegas.
More about Vegas being bad.
Vegas didn't have Darren Waller. The Cowboys coming off a bye. I can see why this is 5. I can also see why it shouldn't be 5 because it's a divisional game. You got the home team here that is feeling a little bit of juice now. I don't know if Amari Cooper. I mean, I'm assuming that now Amari Cooper will be like back to full strength, but. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like the Cowboys coming off that long rest, it does help them a little bit.
Yeah, but they're also the Cowboys, and we've seen the Cowboys just.
This is true.
I mean, Dak.
This is
like,
true.
We want to talk about Pat and all that stuff and how much Pat has struggled. Dak was terrible on Thursday.
Yes.
Like, yes. He was missing guys back and
he
forth.
He was missing guys. I do feel like we. Maybe not having all of the receivers there all the time has been an issue.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Okay, football team plus 4.5, 5 seems like a decent play. All right, what's the next one?
Jaguars, Titans in Tennessee. Tennessee Titans. Coming off a bye. The Jaguars coming off of kind of a bye. They didn't really show up unless.
No, they didn't. They didn't. We are Ramily is what they sang today.
Can I just, if anyone called me a part of the Ramily, I'd fucking just jump off a bridge.
They used to have, so I
that
I watch
sounds
all
like
these
something
old...
that you hear when you come home and you're, you know, to visit your, you know, you're in college, yeah. Come home for Thanksgiving, you'd realize that your mom all of a sudden has all these plaques that say live, laugh, love all over the house. And you're like,
when they were drafting Eric Dickerson to the in Ramily. 83, they had the second pick or whatever. And there was that documentary about the 83 draft. And they had that phone, and then the picture of the Rams helmet, and said, "We're rambunctious." This is like 83. Like, it hasn't gotten better, I would say.
No, it hasn't. I have the Titans favored by 10.5.
I have the Titans laying 7.5.
It is 11. It is 10.5, basically.
Okay, I'm not betting Jacksonville. My issue is like, who's healthy for Tennessee? Are they getting? They're not getting Brown back. They're not getting Julio back. They're not getting Adrian Peterson back. Like, Adrian Peterson has it now, apparently.
Yeah, I think it's pretty simple. The Jaguars suck. I think that's what it is. I'm not betting the Titans either.
Yeah, the Jags are next level bad. Like. What has to happen for Urban Meyer to keep his job?
Oh, I don't know. Let's not talk about that. Who gives a shit? Speaking of next level bad, the Seahawks are playing the Texans. The Texans are next level bad. Did Tyrod get hurt or was he just shitty?
Both.
Okay.
Like they sort of made up an injury after the game. As I told you, the most overrated player on the betting market is Tyrod Taylor.
The Texans stink. What'd you have this at?
7.5.
I had 8.5. It is 7.5. Nicely done.
Seattle's terrible.
Seattle is really bad.
Although they beat your Niners. They swept your Niners this year. Your Niners are going to make the playoffs, having been swept by like a 6-11 Seattle Seahawks team.
That game had some, speaking of fuckery, that game had some.
But all the fuckery kept San Francisco in the game. Like, right? Like that fumble by Gerald Everett.
Yeah, San Francisco also without Debo.
Yeah. Running backs might not matter, but wide receivers who play running back matter. Say that.
This is true. Raiders Chiefs, another game that has some playoff implications. This is in Kansas City. What'd you make this?
Third game of a 3-game homestand for the Chiefs. I'm late. I said the Chiefs will be laying 6.5.
Okay. I said 7. What is it?
It's not populating, obviously. So you got to go to the golf odds guy.
What was it? Jeff Sherman, our friend. The golf odds guy. Incredible. Pre-Sunday night, it was. Does he not have it up here? Bro. Oh, there it is. 8.5. Interesting.
So that's a tease, right? You tease Chiefs down to 2.5, right?
Yeah. Do you think this game makes anyone come off that? No, probably not. People look at the Chiefs defense and go, oh, that's great. So I feel pretty confident it comes back on the board at 8.5.
If it comes back to the board, we'll give it out as a teaser. So far, nothing there. It's too high.
It's too high.
Like, the Chiefs like should not be laying.
The game against Denver closed 8.5. Teddy Bridgewater stinks. 8.5 is too many points.
The Raiders are better than the Broncos, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Chiefs, by the way, like.
Is Darren Waller going to be back?
It seems a whole. I don't know. It seems like this was like a 1-week injury, but I could be wrong. And, you know, they might just hold him out. They might think, oh, we have no chance to win this game. But
I mean, no, that's. Darren Waller.
By the way, somebody in the YouTube chat, we appreciate all of you guys that are listening live, by the way, all 500 or so of you.
Legends.
And another 1,000 or so on Twitter.
People that want it more.
said one of the things we should have as a product on PFF.com is a dating app. I do kind of like that. I kind of like the idea of like grading humans.
Oh, yeah. Has anyone come up with that before?
Yeah, it seems like a...
Yeah, I don't know. The Social Network was a really good movie, though. That's how it started, right? With like
it was, but it wasn't that way. I would do it more as a joke, but in like they were doing it more to like actually algorithmize like this nonsense. Yeah, that was a joke. But
grading dating,
yes. What if you did something? What if we had?
I will
something
grade
where
people's
could,
dates.
That's what I'm saying. What if you had something where people could come in? And like,
for subscribers only.
For subscribers, of course, of course. And you could come in and like just grade the date, and then like somebody who's like, you know, extremely libidinous, like Mike Renner. I mean, imagine the data set that he could generate for us.
Yeah, that'd be pretty great. I think Waller has a chance to play in this game. That's based on my quick research, but I'm gonna confirm. In that case, I do like the Raiders. Okay. Saints Jets. Holy shit.
Oh, by the way, William Philippi says, thank you for the Tiger Cats pick today. You're welcome. The money's green in the CFL.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Alabama. You're welcome. that's my only college conversation for a while. Jets at home against the Saints. You're not allowed to talk about your garbage ass Jets, by the way. You're just allowed to tell me what you think the spread is.
Sorry. I fucking hate the Jets. All right. I'd say the Jets are getting 3.5 at home. I do not like who's playing quarterback for the New Orleans Saints?
Taysom Hill.
No, Taysom Hill broke his hand the other day, right? Tore a finger.
I said Saints by 6.5.
Okay.
It is 6.
Oh, well, not taking the Jets, so.
No.
There's a no buy on the Jets.
I was sitting here thinking to myself, like, if it's less than seven, do you just take any team playing one of the really shitty teams?
No, because those shitty teams win sometimes. Like, the Jets beat the Titans once.
If the Jets couldn't win today...
I'm sorry. What? Who's the quarterback they were facing?
That's right.
Oh, that's right. That's PFF Forecast veteran, friend of the show, Gardner Minshew. And also, did you see his dad vibing after the game with
him?
That
was great.
Yeah. I mean, anybody who has ride or die parents like
Gardner Minshew makes like half the teams in the NFL better if he's their starting quarterback. Dude,
if Gardner Minshew was on the Saints, like, I actually had a, it's funny, I had somebody within the league message me and just show me a picture of Gardner Minshew's stats. And he was like, I told our front office that we should trade a fourth for him. And he goes, and then he made fun of his own backup quarterback. He's like, oh, glad we got this guy. It was just like, right? Like, if you get somebody like Gardner Minshew in and you, like, that guy wins you a game or two, the Eagles are freaking a half game out of the playoffs.
I didn't know you knew anyone on the Broncos.
Oh, God.
The Falcons and the Panthers are playing a game.
Speaking of, this an atrocity of...
Yeah, the Joe Brady thing, weird, by the way.
Brady was one of our top play callers going into the year. That Matt Rhule thing is kind of...
It's interesting. They have the same agent, which I find really surprising, that if it was a miss, like... So there's two options, because I don't think it was that he wasn't good at his job. The two options are he and Rhule had a big disagreement, or the other option is that Joe Brady did something very terrible that is non-football related and, you know, had to be excommunicated. I'm going to lean on Matt Rhule and he either had a disagreement, or Matt Rhule was like, our offense sucks and it can't be my fault, so let me get rid of the guy that might be someone that should take my job in a couple of years. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I think it's very much the set. So, like, I remember in Kansas City, Todd Haley had the 10-6 year or whatever, and people were giving Charlie Weiss a ton of credit for what he did with Matt Cassel, and he, like, just fired Charlie Weiss. He's like, you're out of here. And it's like, there are these coaches that are, like, really skitsy about about who gets the credit. And I think Rhule had probably been looking for an opening to let Joe Brady go for a while. Like, I think he was like, oh, this is getting way too big for what I want here. So, interesting. What do you make the line here?
I had Panthers by 3.
I had Panthers by 3.5. It is 3. It's like trending 2.5, though.
Really?
Do you lay it with the Panthers off of a bye against the Falcons?
No.
Yeah. Cam Newton is just not a thing anymore for me. He was just horrendous the last time he went out there and tried to play a game.
Yeah, that's why they got rid of Joe Brady. A game that actually will be good and has playoff implications, the Ravens and the Browns. Really a shame that on Sunday night we have to watch Bears-Packers instead of something like
Biggest
Ravens-Browns.
Biggest spread of the weekend, I think, will be that game.
Oh, yeah. Would you have Browns-Ravens?
I'd say Cleveland minus 2.5.
Same here, and it's
-1.
-1, -126. I mean, it's...
Yeah, so basically
it's Cleveland's something between
-130 on the money line. Total on the game, 43.5. Under is -117. The last game... So the Browns had a bye, and they played the Ravens back-to-back games, like The Ravens had to play the Steelers in between. But the last game these two teams played, as everybody remembers, because it was a week ago, that game went favorite under.
Yep.
This game, 43.5, does seem like...
41 degrees, 14-mile-per-hour winds. Yeah, I can get on board with that.
So ball... under 43.5.
The only thing that gives me pause is that the Ravens are without Marlon Humphrey.
Defense is horrendous for the Ravens, but you have to basically bank on the fact that Baker Mayfield is just...
It's going to be bad.
I mean, is there anything that makes you more upset than him, like the way he waddles around the field after he just can't hit the broadside of a barn? It just honestly tilts me to like no end.
All right, the 4 p.m. slate. Giants, Chargers in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium. I have the Chargers favored by 6.5.
I have 6.5 too. We must be short on the Chargers though, right? Like, we know Daniel Jones. That might be
well,
the reason
is
we're
he
not...
coming back?
Well, we don't know. So Mike Glennon got a concussion today. So there's like a legit chance that like they might start Jake Fromm in that game.
Oh, well, in that case, we're short.
The Chargers, by the way, if everybody wants to talk to about how back they are because they beat the Bengals today across the street over here, they lost to that Broncos team just a week ago.
The Chargers pre-Sunday night were 10.5 point favorites over the Giants.
I mean, I'm not taking that. But
I mean, yeah, you can't without – if it's Jake from State Farm, you cannot do that. In fact, if it's Jake from State Farm,
no, 10.5. No, it's the Chargers, man. The Chargers almost gave up the lead today again. They had a 24-0 lead, and the Bengals were going for two to tie it up.
That's true. Lions-Broncos. Wow, there's some interesting games this week. What'd you have, Lions-Broncos?
I had the Broncos favored by 6.5.
I had the Broncos favored by 6.5 as well. I think we're going to be short.
Golf odds guy?
7.5. But that's pre-Sunday night. I think this gets down to 7.
Bridgewater.
7, 6.5.
So. Bridgewater was just of rare form today.
Yeah, he was really bad. Also, I'm not exactly juiced about taking the Lions after their
Yeah, it's a letdown spot for sure. Yeah.
I wrote on my notes 6.5, 7. And I think 7, 7.5 is probably where it lands. 49ers, Bengals in Cincinnati.
I said Cincy -3.
Okay. I did not give them a full 3. I gave them 2.5.
Yeah, the Bengals are -1. Cincinnati hosted the Niners 2 years ago. In week 2, the Niners were it was basically a pick 'em. Niners blew them out.
Yep. En route to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Are they on that path this year? I don't think so. But
you never know.
You never know.
Just
it's a
never
good point.
Know.
You just never know.
I don't know. Both teams kind of at the bottom of the market here. Bills, Bucks, great game.
Mm-hmm.
I make the Bucks a 3-point favorite at home.
I make the Bucks 2.5. Yep.
It is 3.5 plus 108. It's very much trending 3, basically 3.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like the Bills? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know. At 3, I would take Buffalo at 3.
Yeah, I kind of think you're right. Before we get to Sunday Night Football, our friends at Western and Southern are helping you become more financially savvy and football smart. And they're doing so by partnering with our wonderful boss, Chris Collinsworth, and his podcast, where you can go ask Chris. You can ask Chris about his old playing days. You can ask him about what he and Al talk about when there's no La Brea on TV, as there was not tonight.
La Brea.
And you could also ask him what you need to know about your financial future, because Western Southern is the place to go to figure that out, regardless of what questions you have, retirement, insurance, the whole deal. So go to westernsouthern.com/askchris to submit your question. That's westernsouthern.com/askchris. He will answer the best question on his podcast and the Western Southern Instagram. And when you enter a question, you will also enter a chance to win a catered party to February's big game. Remember, that's Western Southern, where you can rest assured on game day. All right, Sunday Night Football. Unfortunately, Bears at Packers. I had the Packers favored by 16.5.
I said 13.5. It is 13.
Oh, I'll take the Packers.
Should we take Packers -13?
The Bears fucking suck.
Dude, they're horrendous. And Fields might play, so that might be the thing.
No, I'm sorry. Fields is great. He cannot overcome how terrible that team is.
Oh,
But if it is
he's
Andy
an
Dalton,
overcomer, like,
if it
like
is
Russ.
Andy Dalton, if it is Andy Dalton, by the way, someone sent me that picture of Russ and Ciara at church, and Russ like on his knees praying, and it's the most amazing picture.
Somebody made fun of the fact that he called himself an overcomer. Like, it was sort of like,
dude, it's just amazing.
By the way, the Bears
could be Russell Wilson's new team.
Yeah. That's a podcast for the offseason, I feel like.
Andy Dalton. We've got a lot of podcasts lined up for the offseason. We have 5 podcasts that we're contractually obligated to do a recounting of season 1 of La Brea.
Yeah. La Brea.
Every episode.
La Brea.
Gets 30 minutes. It's television's number 1 new show.
Oh, really?
Monday Night Football is a great game. It is Rams Cardinals in Arizona. I'm very interested to see what you made this spread.
I said Arizona -2.5.
Okay. I said Arizona -4.
It is 3.
Juiced.
So it's basically 2.5.
Yeah. Wow.
I love the Cardinals.
Same.
In this spot.
Same.
I know we are Ramily and all this stuff, but I love the fade here of the Ramily.
You don't think they're back after beating the Jags?
I'm rambunctious about this bet. I'm ready. I'm ready. Okay.
I do want to be a little cautious here. The Cardinals beat the Bears because the Bears are an absolute travesty.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Kyler looked back from a like running perspective, but I don't think he was like, there was really no testing of Kyler Murray. Like, Kyler Murray threw the ball 15 times. He went 11 for 15. Like, the Bears just stunk. So,
I mean, okay, all that's true, but Matthew Stafford is Matthew Stafford.
Hmm.
Is Matthew Stafford go on the road and beat a good team on Monday Night Football kind of quarterback? No, he's not.
It's not there.
Okay, so we have football team +5, right? Possibly. Mm-hmm. Are we going to – we want that one, right?
Yeah, we'll let's figure these out. Okay. So I like that. I like Steelers-Vikings under 45.
Ooh, I forgot about that.
I'd like the Raiders +8.5.
I don't know. I hate the Raiders. But also, it's not up yet. So
true.
We get to cop out of that one.
Okay.
Cleveland-Baltimore under or no? Is that too short?
What is
43.5? That seems a little low.
It's low.
Okay. Packers -13.
Yep.
And then ours -2.5. Do we throw in an Army Navy bet right now? Army -7.5.
You can't. When you spell it out, it works. When you say it, it doesn't work.
I know. I'm saying it for the effect.
I know. It's got an effect. Let's put it that way. We got recommendations. By the way, our article will be out in the morning. If you're listening to this in the morning, you can go check it out on pff.com. Promo code CYBER40 for 40% off. It's your last freaking chance. Go make it happen. Give me a recommendation.
All right. I watched this during the Thanksgiving break. It's called Roadrunner, a film about Anthony Bourdain. Ooh. I thought that it was a very good documentary about the life and the work of a man who obviously took his own life about 3 years ago. But he was a very accomplished person in art and cooking and just like film and all that stuff. It was a very interesting film.
He's awesome. Was awesome on TV. Like, I loved watching.
Yep, it's on Amazon. It'll cost you like $3 or $4 to rent it for a day or whatever. Yeah, worth it. Worth the
all right.
The coinage.
I have 2 recommendations.
Ooh.
I'm bringing the heat. One of which is a podcast called Masters of Scale. It's a very popular podcast. So probably a lot of people on here that already listen to it. But if you don't, it's very good. It's hosted. The production value on it is honestly just fucking awesome. It's worth listening just to hear the production value. It's hosted by the founder of LinkedIn, Reid Hoffman, who has a great podcast voice, and they do a fantastic job of editing it. But he talks to a ton of really interesting people, a lot of stories about, you know, businesses and how they've managed to become really successful, entrepreneurship, that kind of thing. But it touches a pretty broad range of topics. The episodes are like 40-ish minutes long. They edit them really well so that they're pretty compact. And I found them really interesting. My next recommendation, I was in Norfolk, Virginia on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday because my wonderful girlfriend is now on an aircraft carrier in the middle of the ocean, and they took they set sail from Norfolk, which I had never been to before. And I'll say this, I had two meals in Norfolk. First meal on Monday night was it was the worst meal I've had at a restaurant since I can remember. I'm pretty good at not going to restaurants that suck, as you know. Mm-hmm, this was fucking disgusting. I'm not recommending that. Okay. So the next night.
You did say you almost had the worst meal of your life. And I was just like, what, like a hamburger?
Right? It was trash. I'm not even going to recount it. So the next night was our last meal together for like 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of pressure on this. Went to a place called Le Grand Kitchen in Norfolk, Virginia. It is a hole in the wall. It has a funny, cool, interesting vibe on the inside. It's like eight tables. You know how places give you the QR code now to like, they come to your table and say, can you give me your cell phone number? We want to text you the menu.
See, I can't. I wouldn't. I
chill out. It was really, really, really good. Everything was awesome. Their burger, you know what a burger aficionado I am. Their burger comes in at number three on my list of burgers.
Behind the Boner Burger?
Behind the Boner Burger.
Okay, remember that one.
And behind the burger at Reverie, which you can't actually get at Reverie anymore in D.C. But ahead of Le Diplomat's Burger, if you're from the D.C. area, a very well-known burger, this burger's better. If you're in Norfolk, Virginia, for any reason, you should go to this place. If I had gone there on Monday night, I would have gone back on Tuesday night.
Ooh.
That's how good it was.
I mean, so you should go check it out.
That's our show. We'll be back on Wednesday. We love you all. Peace out.